Blog Talk Radio.
Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. 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 Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Down. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down.
Hello, it's Yvette Jordan, and you're on the Gist of Freedom show. Our guest is Karen Jones Meadows. Hello, Karen. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Okay,
how are you?
Welcome. I'm fine, thank you, and welcome.
Thank you.
For our listeners who are not aware of your many talents, would you share who you are and what it is you do with us, please?
Okay. Well, the thing that I'm doing the most right now is a play called Harriet's Return, based upon the legendary life of Harriet Tubman, which I also wrote. And currently I'm performing at the Alabama Shakespeare Festival in Montgomery, Alabama. I've been here all month. I'll be here until the 28th, started the 5th of February, going through, and then I'm going to North Carolina. I'm touring with this piece. It's a one-woman play, and I play 30 characters. And it follows Harriet Tubman's life. It's basically the untold story. It's not the one we usually hear about. There are a lot of elements that are personal about her. And so that's what I'm doing. I also do workshops, altars that alter, and youth workshops, and lots of different kinds of things. I'm an intuitive, so I do that work. So there's a lot going on right now.
I see. I guess you're very, very busy. How did you learn about Harriet Tubman? I mean, all of us, okay, in elementary school and all throughout school, we hear about Harriet Tubman, although you alluded to many aspects of her life we were not aware of.
Right. It started quite a while ago when I lived in North Carolina. I was asked to create a living portrait of Black history. The Afro-American Cultural Center asked me to do that, and I chose Phyllis Wheatley, Lorraine Hansberry, Queen Nzinga, and Harriet Tubman as characters that I created. And I learned the story of their lives and extemporaneously performed. I didn't I didn't write a script. I learned about their lives, and I would perform and then answer questions. And Harriet became the most popular. And then later on, I was asked to write a children's version, and I ended up doing research again, and I love research. So therefore, I got caught up in it and decided to do the adult version. And
okay.
That was,
I'm sorry, I don't want to, for our listeners who are not aware of the women you mentioned, would you share who they are, please?
Okay. Well, Phyllis Wheatley was enslaved. She was prior to Harriet Tubman, and she was a poet. She's known as the first African-descended poet to be published here. She's actually published in England, and there's lots of detail. But she was in the New England area. That's where she was raised. She was called a leftover because she was 7 when she came over. She was kind of scraggly, and so she was enslaved as basically a domestic worker, but really lightweight and a companion for the people who enslaved her, whose name was Wheatley.
Okay.
Queen Nzinga was a warrior, and she was in gold, and she fought the Portuguese for 53 years and has quite a colorful story. Lorraine Hansberry, I think people probably know who she is. She wrote A Raisin in the Sun and other plays, and she was quite celebrated and died very young. And actually, physically, I resembled her when I was young. I don't think I do now, but you never know. and then, of course, Harriet Tubman, who's the most celebrated Underground Railroad conductor. That's what she's most known for, but she also fought in the Civil War and did all kinds of amazing things. She didn't just fight. She created battles. She was a strategist and a scout during the Civil War.
Okay. And the response from all of these people, Harriet Tubman was the greatest response you received?
She was the one most requested, and I didn't know if it was because of the way she was done, because I think they were all pretty equal in the attention and creativity. I think it's because she's the most known.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that's why they would request her most. And the plays
okay.
evolved so much from that point, from that time until now. It's been many years, and it is a written script. And it opens in the contemporary. It opens in a restaurant.
So is this looking back?
I'm sorry?
I said, is it looking back over her life? Or?
It opens in a restaurant, and actually there are negative things being said about African-descended people by other African-descended people.
Mm.
And it triggers her back.
Curious.
And she
okay.
doesn't want to go, but she goes. And so we go from 6 to her afterlife. She passed on at 93, and there's some discussion as to whether or not she was 103 or not, which I now know some of her family members. In fact, I've known her family members from the Auburn area and the whole northern New York area. Someone came to see the play here who's a Tubman. And
okay.
came last week, and she was just thrilled and said, you've got to come to D.C. You've got to come to Maryland. Oh, my God. So that was really, really nice. That was wonderful, actually. I felt good about that.
Yeah, well, actually, I was going to ask you if you stay in the southern area or if you bring your play. You said you're on tour, so do you bring it around or are you invited? Is it on DVD? I'm a teacher. Actually, I'm a history teacher, African-American
okay.
history and U.S. history. So I'm curious myself.
I do have, I tour all over. This is actually the first time I've been in the South.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time, which is interesting, and I love it here. I actually really love it here. And I'll be in North Carolina next. That'll be March 12th in North Carolina. And then I'm doing a tour in the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all over. I do have a DVD, and it's being duplicated right now.
Okay.
And so we can talk about that. I have some clips that are going to be on the website. There are some on the Alabama Shakespeare Festival website, asf.net.
Okay, what is that website again, please?
It's www. Of course, ASF as in Sarah Francis. .net.
Okay.
And that's the Alabama Shakespeare Festival, which is an amazing place. I have to say, it's just amazing. And then I'll be in North Carolina. Davidson College's Ethnic Studies Department is sponsoring the play there. I'm going to be doing it at the Duke Theater, which is lovely. It's just been renovated. It's quite beautiful. And I'll be there on March 12th. And then we're working on me in St. Louis through the, there's a Black Wax Museum there,
uh-huh.
and they're bringing me in.
Okay.
And so there's quite a bit going on. I've been to Hawaii. I've been a lot of places. I've been outside of the country, Tortola, which is one of the
And the Northeast? The Northeast?
In the Northeast, I was at Sarah Lawrence a long time ago. And at the On Center, I did a fundraiser for the Harriet Tubman Home, which is in Auburn, New York, and I did that at the On Center in Syracuse. And they had the 30th pilgrimage to her home, and Harriet's return was the opening of that weekend, and it was quite amazing. It was wonderful. It was great.
Okay. Well, that's great.
I'm working to get in D.C. and New Jersey and New York. I want to go into New York.
Right.
Definitely. And it's It's amazing. I mean, it is. It's a great show. It is. I know. I wrote it and I'm in it. But I have to say that I can see the response of people. We have standing ovations every night. There's a call to action. It's thorough. It's a play that's universal in theme and in spirit, and it's uplifting and it's funny, and there's also some very tough moments and some eye-opening moments, I'd say.
Let me ask you this. I know she was injured, right. And how did the injury affect her, or do you even mention that in the play at all?
We do, and we actually go through the process of the injury. It's thorough. And she was hit in the head, and her brain was crushed. In the play, she was assisting someone who was trying to escape. And so we go through the whole process because it's a huge part of her life. She knew she was free as a being from birth. So
right.
It was just a matter of when, not if. And she started running away when she was 6 years old, and so that's in there. And she had her skull crushed, and she had a scar. And there are people who say she heard voices. She had visions, and she heard voices. But
mm-hmm.
There are people who say it was a result of the injury, and there are people who say, no, she just had them and did that. She used to black out. She would black out. And it would just happen. There wasn't any particular way to anticipate when that was going to happen. So that's a part of the story as well. But
she carried a gun?
She carried a gun. She carried a gun when she was traveling, and she also, when she was in the Civil War, she
mm-hmm.
led troops. I've written the film version of this also, which opens it up a lot more, so we get into more detail because we can. There's a lot of detail on this, but it's a play, so it's a little bit different. But we literally see her in battle. She led a raid in the Combahee River. She served the last meal to Colonel Shaw in the 54th Regiment.
Regiment, yeah, okay.
Yeah, she did. She cooked and served that. She was there. There's a quote. I have no quotes in the play from her. I didn't do that. But there is a quote from her where she talks about that battle and says, I don't know it exactly, but first there was the rain and that was the blood coming down, and it goes on from there. She had a very poetic way of speaking, and she was brilliant. She was simply a brilliant, brilliant person. She owned 25 acres of land.
Mm.
And still there, and with streams, and she had a cookhouse and bakery. She was an entrepreneur. She vacationed at Ralph Waldo Emerson's house. She had just an amazing, colorful, powerful life. She was a small woman, tiny, really, really tiny. She worked on behalf of children. She had
mm-hmm.
a home for aged and indigent people, and she never turned anyone away. Something that's in the film that's not in the play is that she was victim of a scam that took place, and that really disturbed her that she could be duped because there were people who invested with her in it, and they lost their money. And,
wow.
Yeah, that was a
that's
huge
really
issue.
Fascinating. I want to ask about an aspect of freedom that is not often spoken about, and that is, are you addressing in your play and or the film how freed slaves felt after they were free, and they might have said, okay, I want to go back, I don't like it, I don't feel safe. You address any of that?
I don't address that. I address the fear of going back. I address that
mm-hmm.
she was a reluctant hero, as are most heroes.
Right.
I address people who were prejudiced against people who'd been enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
I address a lot of things. I don't address people who went back, I don't do that.
Okay.
It's not
okay.
in me.
All righty. I find it all fascinating, and I'm just, I want to just hop on a plane right now and go to Alabama.
Well, come on down. You are welcome here. I'm surprised the audiences are just incredible. They're very mixed. I didn't realize that Montgomery, Alabama is 65% African American.
Mm.
And the audience are quite mixed. It's the Alabama Shakespeare Festival, so there are always Shakespearean plays going on here, and it's an amazing space. It's actually beautiful. But the audiences are just so ready and open.
Yeah.
And they're all races. They're Asian people. They're you know, Native American. There are all kinds of people coming to the show. And that's always the way it is. It doesn't matter. I did the show in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was not a predominantly African-descended audience. I had someone write me who was a Holocaust survivor and said, this was my story.
And oh, my goodness.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, well, that's phenomenal. Are you getting a lot of buzz around the play where you may receive a lot of support for your film?
I am working for that. I'm hoping so. There's a place in Maryland that said that we can film there. What I'm looking for now primarily is, you know, the economic backing. It takes a lot
right.
of film, but I'm going to work on it very diligently. That's what I'm doing now. And because the play is successful, because the play is, it's a hit, it really is. And the more I do it, the more I go out and show what it is, the easier it's going to be to do this. I want to hurry
right.
up and do this. I really do. So
well,
people,
I applaud your efforts.
People kindly send them my way.
I definitely applaud your efforts. I want to ask you also, ask you if she had a relationship with either William Still of the Underground Railroad or John Brown?
Absolutely, and they're both in the play.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, they're
okay.
both in the play, and quite significantly in the play. Absolutely. And she, when she escaped, she went to Philadelphia, and the Philadelphia Vigilance Committee meeting is really how she got involved
mm-hmm.
in going back. And I have it so that it's her sister. She sees a vision of her sister and goes to get her. And then there's a whole thing with John Brown because she went to meet him in Canada to help to, strategize about how to do Harper's Ferry. And she was supposed to go. And she got sick, and she didn't. So that's all addressed about how her voices protect her.
Ah, okay.
Also, up until that point, she didn't have any deep affection for white people. And so she loved him. In fact, she has on her property the John Brown Infirmary. Because that's how much she cared about him and how heartbroken she was with his death and the massacre and all that went on
wow.
with them. Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the Copelands, who were John Brown cohorts?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, again, I'm really fascinated about this. And would you share with our audience about how you even started writing, if it's something you learned in school, or if you went in school for this, or
well,
how did it start?
I always knew I'd be a writer. It was interesting because I didn't like to read. When I was little, when we had to do a book report, I'd create the whole book because I didn't really
okay.
like reading so much. And it's amazing that I can write because I didn't like reading, but I loved writing. And I was an actress first, but knew somehow I was going to be some kind of a writer. I didn't know what it was. And it evolved. I was in a group. I think it really kicked off. I joined a group when I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina, as I said earlier. And I was in a group called the Performing Arts Guild Ensemble. And we wrote poetry. We wrote our own, and we performed poetry of people who were already published and known. And we did these shows. And my poems became longer and longer. They became scenes and whatnot. And so finally I just said, oh, I'm going to write a play.
Hello? Hello?
Looks like we lost her.
Okay.
She probably called back in. Until she calls in, I guess we could play a tune. Any other questions you are you looking forward to ask her, Yvette?
Well, Leslie, and we have Leslie Gist on now. I'm going to ask about her relationships with some theater companies in our area.
Great.
Meaning,
okay. Well, we've heard a call, and when she's back on the line, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Reach out and touch.
Okay, thank you. For our listeners, we are back again with Karen Jones Meadows, a playwright, actress extraordinaire, and who is in Alabama at the Alabama Shakespeare Festival right now with her play, Harriet's Return. I was asking you, well, actually, I want to ask you if you have relationships with the Crossroads Theater in New Jersey.
Yes, I was about to. I was about to tell you that. So I decided to be a playwright and go into the theater at that point. I went to college for something else, but I knew I'd go there. Crossroads was the first theater to do a version of this play, and it's probably the closest version that's been done to what I do now. There are some scenes that they didn't do there, but Crossroads Theater with Trezana Beverly, who played Harriet, she was amazing. She was wonderful. And Ricardo Khan directed it. It was a great piece. And
okay.
It was also done at Geffen Playhouse with Debbie Allen. She was great. There's been versions of it that Denise Burris Fernandez did and Linda Gravatt. There have been several actresses who've done it. I had no intention of acting in this play, I'd like to say. I really didn't. I stopped acting and thought I was going to stay with writing. But this version that I do is the final one, I certainly hope. I added one line because we've had a change with the president, and I just had to get it in there, so it's in there. but, yes, there have been some wonderful productions. And actually, in New York, the acting company has been doing the young people's version for several years. They're doing it right now in New York City.
Oh, really? And what is the... So the name of it is the same name?
It's called Harriet Returns for Us is what we call the young people's version.
Okay.
And it's the acting company, and they're doing a young people's version for the schools. And you might want to get in touch with them if you're interested. I don't know how they book it, but I know it's going on now. And I, as I said, I really want to come into New York with it, so I'm working on it because I know what this does to people and for people, and I'm excited about being everywhere with it. I really am. But yeah, Crossroads Theater did a beautiful job with it.
Okay. You had mentioned about other abolitionists who were in your play. Were they always in the play, or was this modifications you made along the way?
I have to think back a lot. They were, I think John Brown was always in it. I'm not quite sure about William Still, but they've always been in the adult version. Yes, they've always been there because they were an integral part of Harriet growing into who she grew into. I'm just trying to remember. There's a scene where she has a friend who I call Luther Jean Grayson, who
mm-hmm.
is not an abolitionist. She's the only one who's not a freedom fighter, abolitionist, who's like, Harriet, I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know why you keep going back down. relax, you know. And a lot of the play, there's one scene we call the Patty Roller scene where they we see her out on the road. She did a lot of disguises, and so we have an opportunity to see her in disguise and what she would do to protect people and how knowledgeable she'd have to be about where she traveled. She traveled mostly in the winter, in the snow,
uh-huh.
so she couldn't be tracked, and it made it harder. But it also made it much harder for her.
Right, exactly, and those traveling with her.
Yes.
Would you give us your information again? We're almost out of time.
Okay. The website for me is harrietsreturn.com, which is being updated, and there's also karenjonesmeadows.com, and I'm updating everything. Everything's happening so quickly. But if you want
okay.
to know what's going on now, you can go to also the asf.net, Alabama Shakespeare Festival. My email is onpurposenow@csisincharlessam.com. The company is On Purpose Productions. And I think that's everything. If you want a
okay.
phone number, 867-0857, 867-0857, area code 505.
Okay, and that's 505-867-0857.
Mm-hmm.
And we were speaking with the Karen Jones Meadows, who is a writer and actress for Harriet's Return. I'm Yvette Jordan, and this is the Gist of Freedom Show. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.